All right, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 5. Should I turn this other one off? No, we're good? We're good. Okay. Luke chapter 5. We're going to start a new series today. We're calling it The Way. Anybody watch the series The Mandalorian? I have a few people, all right? Few fans of The Mandalorian. Anybody not seen The Mandalorian? All right, well, all right. I thought there might be a few more that have seen it. Kind of surprised. I think everybody that has teens has probably seen it. Our family watched it. We enjoyed it. It is in the Star Wars saga, and if you've watched it, you get introduced to a new character, the Mandalorian, who is just a pretty bad dude, right? I mean, he's got all the martial arts moves down. He's got this really cool, his Beskar armor that just looks like, you know, nothing could penetrate that, like he'll take anybody out. And throughout the series, you hear him say things like, this is the Mandalorian way. So he leaves his face armor on the whole time, and when somebody asks him about taking it off, he says, no, this is the way of the Mandalorian. There's one time where he's in trouble, and some Mandalorians, they come to help him, and they just simply say, this is the way. You know, when they say this is the way, it's recognized that there is just a certain way that this group of people lives. It's different from everyone else. As we went through the book of Acts, we saw that the early Christians, they weren't known as Christians initially. They were known as followers of the way. Now, not the way of the Mandalorian, but the way of the Lord. What that means is that there was a pattern of life that distinguished them among everybody else. And at times, people didn't really understand what they believed, but they knew that there was something distinct about this group of people. And so we're doing a series, we're calling it The Way, and we're just going to look at some of some of Jesus' basic teaching and how it should define his followers. We're going to look and see what it means for us today. What we're going to look at today is that there is a way of sacrifice. There's a way of sacrifice. Jesus, he is the way of life, and if we're going to follow him, it's going to mean that we make sacrifices. In order to follow him, you have to give up everything else. You know, just this week I was playing Frisbee with my kids. And some kids love Frisbee, some kids like to do other things. And so we're out there, I was throwing the Frisbee to one of them, and then I looked over and I said, hey, catch. And that one had his hands full with other stuff. I think there was some kind of rod and maybe a football. And he just looked at me and was like, kind of put something aside and was like, I got it. You know, I was like, you can't catch it. Like, if you're going to catch this Frisbee, you've got to put all your other stuff down. He's like, no, I've got it. Like, you're not going to catch it, you know? So I throw it to him, and, you know, he's got all this other stuff. He's trying to catch a Frisbee with no hands. If we really want to grasp hold of something, we've got to let go of the other things, right? You can't come to Jesus and take hold of him if you've got everything else. If you've got your hands cluttered, so it's going to take letting go of other things in order to follow Jesus. It's going to take sacrifice. You're going to have to let go of stuff in order to take hold of him. So we're going to read a passage today. This is about one of the first disciples and him leaving everything to follow Jesus. So we have this on the screen. You can follow along. This is Luke 5:27. This is Jesus. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, follow me. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table with them. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's the word of the Lord. So here we see that Levi, he is leaving everything in order to follow Jesus. And I want to look at three things about the sacrifice that God calls his followers to. The first thing that I think you need to see in this passage is that life is in Jesus. Life is in him. John 14:6. We have that on the screen. I'm gonna need some water. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He is the life. If you want life, it comes through him. Next verse on the screen. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life of me will find it." So here we see that Jesus, he's promising life and life to the full. True life. Life as it was intended by God. If you want to experience that life, it comes through Jesus. It comes through a relationship with him. It comes through following him. Here we see Jesus is saying that he is the great physician. He is the healer of souls. You know, there's so much emphasis right now on our physical health, right? You hear a little bit of that these days? Like that, that's all that we hear about. But we are also spiritual beings. We have spiritual needs. We have passions and desires inside of us. It means we have a soul. And Jesus is the one that can heal everything. Now, he promises to heal us physically, but he promises to heal us spiritually as well. You know, as we go through life in a fallen world and we experience the brokenness of life, the hurts and pains that occur in life, he is the one that can heal us. He is the great physician, you hear some people say. He is the great physician. There's no other. He's the one that can heal us fully and completely. Here he talks about the healthy. It's bringing them to a place of physical, mental, complete soundness. And he says that's what he's come to do. He's come to make the sick well. You know, if you read the Bible, you see in the beginning of the Bible, people had life with God. There was this peace, this shalom, you'll hear some people refer that to. It's perfection, but it was lost. And what God is doing the rest of the Bible is he's trying to lead his people back to seeing that restored. And what you see here in the New Testament, what you see here with Jesus, is he is the one that is coming to restore that. He's the one that's coming to bring wholeness. And it's amazing here that he is bringing that to this group of people. You know, here it says tax collectors and others. You know, other accounts, usually when you hear tax collectors, it's like tax collectors and sinners. Tax collectors and prostitutes. It's amazing that Jesus, a religious leader, a religious teacher, is now hanging out with these people. I mean, that may not be the company that you would want to keep. For many of their day, it was completely perplexing that Jesus, this amazing spiritual teacher, would now be hanging out and dining with these people. I mean, you want to talk about a ragtag group of folks. You know, we've talked some about tax collectors and how back in ancient Rome, a tax collector would be appointed to go out and collect tax. Okay, we get that. Well, it was like they could use whatever means necessary to collect that tax. And then the thing was is that, you know, Rome had a certain amount that they wanted from that guy. And then whatever they collected above that, they could keep. So you want to talk about just all the incentive to being ruthless and to do whatever it takes to get money from people. That's who these tax collectors were. They weren't well respected in society by any means. And Jesus is coming to them. It's amazing to think that he would even come and talk to them. But he comes and he hangs out with them. He's known as a friend of tax collectors, a friend of sinners. It's amazing. He is bringing life. He's bringing them hope. You know, it's like he's coming along and putting his arm around them and saying, "Hey, just come with me." That's exactly what he's doing. He's promising them restoration and healing. I mean, you think, what does a person go through to end up in the place where they are a tax collector or a prostitute? Like, what inner turmoil have they experienced from that, but also what may have led them to be in that place where they feel rejected by society, so it doesn't matter, we'll just kind of dig the hole a little bit deeper. And Jesus is promising that he's going to restore them. He's offering that to them. I mean, this is an absolute mess. I mean, could you imagine being there and thinking about, hey, I'm here to try and make everything right in this room? That'd be a little overwhelming to me. But that's what he's come to do. You know, I think about it, and I think there was a famous sculptor. You've probably heard this before, but, you know, talking to a sculptor, and they would show him a lump of clay. And he'd look at the clay, and he says, I don't see clay. I see a lion that wants to come out of that. You know, you just see just a big blob, but he sees something that can be designed and shaped, something that can be magnificent. And that's what Jesus is doing. That's why he comes for us, right? Should encourage us that he comes to demonstrate the mercy and grace of God. And so it doesn't matter what you're going through in life. It doesn't matter what you have that you think, man, I have no business being in church. It doesn't matter where you look at yourself and think, man, I'm a ruin, I'm a failure. God is bigger than that. And we see him he comes to the lowly of society and calls them to be his disciples. That's amazing. That should just blow you away. And it should give you hope that as you read the Bible, you think, well, I might not be in a great place, but neither were these people. And they found hope in Jesus. There's life in him, and he has come that people might experience true life, that they might experience life to the full, life as it was intended to be. But experiencing that life, it also comes at a cost. They're going to have to follow him. Not just pray a prayer, but follow him. That's what he says to Levi here. He says, hey, come and follow me, right? A lot of times we cheapen what it means to follow Jesus, where we say, well, hey, I prayed a prayer when I was 5 years old. I'm covered, right? Are you following him? It's a way of life. And that's what we see here. The second thing is to see that we're called to leave everything. Jesus called Levi to leave everything and follow him. And it's amazing. Levi does that. He shows what discipleship is. He leaves some things, right? Is that what it says? He left some things? What did he leave? Peyton, what did he leave? He left everything. He did it immediately. Like, you don't just do that for anybody. So he has encountered Jesus and he realizes there's something different about this guy. He's realizing that life is in him. The disciples, when they encountered him, they said, this is a man that we've never seen teach like this before. They had confidence that this wasn't just another person. This is the Savior of the world. Levi left everything, and he did it immediately. It shows that there's a different allegiance that we're to have. You know, that's what this is really about. Sometimes people will say, well, hey, if you're going to follow Jesus, you have to leave everything. You have to leave your current occupation and go and follow him. And I say, I don't think that's the case. You know, John the Baptist, when some soldiers came up to him and said, hey, what do we do? Like, to demonstrate repentance, what do we do? And he tells them, we have this on the screen, Luke 3:14. Nope, maybe not. Let me read it. He said this, some soldiers also questioned him, what should we do? And John the Baptist said, don't take money from anyone by force or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages. Basically, what he told them to do is, hey, go back, do your jobs, but do it the right way. Do it in a way that honors God. And what we see here is this is a breaking of the normal allegiances that you have in the world. He's telling those soldiers that you need to go back and all these other allegiances that you had where you felt like you could just beat people, take whatever you wanted, you've got to stop that. You've got to do it in the fear of the Lord. Jesus is calling Levi to leave all of his other allegiances, to leave the things of the world, and follow him, to have him as your number one priority. That's what it is to follow Jesus. That's what he's calling him to do. I mean, there's an immediate break that Levi has with everything. He breaks with his job, and then, you know, a lot of times we're like, hey, you know, I'll follow Jesus, but I'm just going to be quiet about it. Levi does the complete opposite. He says, I'm leaving everything to follow this guy, and let me just throw a banquet. I'm going to invite all my friends so you can see what I'm doing. There's a break of his social relationships. God is, he's just surrendered everything to him. And you see that the claims that Jesus has, you know, he says, follow me. It is a claim to leave everything. You know, I think a lot of times we have this idea of Jesus being kind of this nice little neat thing that goes on the shelf that you see at the Christian bookstore. Just kind of gives you a warm fuzzy, but doesn't make any real demands of you. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible, yes, he is gracious. Yes, he's compassionate. He's also demanding. He calls his followers to leave everything. He's bold. He's bold in what he asks others. You've got to leave everything. If you're trusting in your money, you're trusting in your reputation with other people, trusting in trying to be the cool guy, man, you've got to leave all that behind and just say, it's Jesus. That's who I'm following. Because it's about following him. It's not just about praying a prayer. You hear that a lot today. Jesus tells Levi to follow him. You know, a lot of times we cheapen what it means to follow after him. We make it seem so simple. We make it seem as something that we can just get done, like a chore. Hey, I did the dishes, I'm done. No, there's a sacrifice, and it is a consistent sacrifice. You know, a lot of times we come to Jesus, and we just want to be comfortable, right? We want to be comfortable. We want to be at ease. That's what it means to be comfortable. We want ease. We want relaxation. We want a trip to the beach. Jesus never promises that. Now, he does promise that in him, we can have peace, but it's in the midst of the chaos of life. It's in the midst of sacrifice. He's calling Levi to sacrifice everything in order to follow him. He's saying, Levi, you've got your hands full of all kinds of stuff, and I want you to let everything go so that you can hold on to me, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take holding on with both hands. And this leaving everything, I want to tell you, it is a way of life. It's not just a one-time, hey, I did this and I'm done. It is a way of life. It's something you do consistently. That's the third point, is leaving is a way of life. Sacrificing, it's a way of life. You don't just do it once, but as you follow Jesus, remember, you're following a Savior who gave his life for you. So that should key you in on following him. It's going to involve a sacrifice. It's going to call me denying myself. It's going to call me to deny the things in the world so that I can follow after him. You know, a lot of times we treat it like it's a one-time deal. We have a word in English called to denote a beginning, inceptive. It means that it begins a process. So a lot of you guys, maybe you're in college and you're registering for a class. You know, that registering, it is inceptive to the beginning of class. It marks the beginning. So you can't take class until you've registered, right? So you've got to get that done. Once you've registered, you are in class. But graduating from college, it takes more than registering for the class, right? How many people discovered that at some point in their college career? It took a little bit more than just signing up for the class. That gets you in the door, but you've got to do something after that. There's a, what we call it, an ongoing process. Called an iterative process. Iterative means something is ongoing. The ongoing part of going to class is that you go to class, that you do your homework, that you take the test. That is an ongoing process. So nobody gets to the end of the semester and then, like, you fail a class and you're mad. It's like, oh, but I registered for that. You did a small portion of what was required. You had to, once you're registered for class, you've got to have an ongoing responsibility, right? Same thing with following Jesus. The cost of following him, it is an ongoing process. It's not as though, hey, I walked the aisle when I was in sixth grade. I said, Jesus is my Lord, and I've done nothing since then. That's not a relationship. That's not an act of surrendering to him, of coming to him and saying, Jesus, what are you calling me to do today? If you're going to have a relationship with somebody, it takes seeking after them. It takes knowing them. It takes following them. And that's what we see here, this leaving. It is a way of life. Five times in the book of Luke, Jesus will say, follow after me. As you go through and you read the Bible, we finished a series on the book of Acts. We saw That the church in the New Testament was consistently giving everything up in order to follow Jesus. They were selling their possessions and things in order to bless other people. They were doing that in order to move the mission forward. They were sacrificing and having people over into their homes. They were doing Bible studies in the middle of the night. They were giving it all up in order to know who this Jesus was. They didn't just assume that, oh, hey, I heard that Sermon on the Mount, I'm good. There was a hunger. They realized that in order to take every thought captive to Jesus, they needed to consistently be in His Word and to consistently be around others and to be praying and seeking. You couldn't just assume that because I did that, I'm good. There was a hunger. There was a thirst. There was a consistent sacrificing. Luke 9:23. I have that on the screen. Luke 9:23. It says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. 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 If we're going to follow Jesus, it means denying ourselves every day. I get tired of all the, I see so many different devotions. And, you know, I hate putting things down where people's intent is best. But so many devotions where it's just like, hey, read this. And you'll get everything you want. You know, that's essentially like what it's promising. Like, hey, just read this and you're going to get that next deal. Read this and you're going to get that all this other stuff. And it's like, well, that is just appealing to the idol of self. You're just worshiping yourself and you just want God so that you can get more stuff. Where is sacrifice? That's how you can tell what's important to somebody. What are you willing to give up in order to get that other thing? I see this with my kids all the time. You know, they get a new Lego set and they love that. Maybe somebody's like, hey, can I play with your Lego set? And they're like, no way. So, well, I'll trade you this for that. No way. Give me two of those. You know, you start to see this is important. They don't want to let it go. It's going to take a significant cost. You can tell what's important to somebody by what they hold on to. Are you holding on to Jesus? Or are you holding on to the things in the world? Your hands are going to get full. At some point, you're just going to have too many options and too few hands. What are you going to hold on to? Levi gave everything up. He left it immediately. Left everything. He just said, if I can only have one thing, it's going to be Jesus. And let me tell you, with all the chaos that's going on in life right now, this has been something that has been so encouraging to me personally. Because it's like, I'm never going to make everybody happy. I'm never going to please everybody. If I can only do one thing, let me just follow Jesus. That's the only thing that matters. Only thing that matters in life. But is it really what matters to you? You know, there comes a point in time where all of us, we have to make a decision, or are we going to follow Jesus? And are we going to give everything up for Him? If you haven't come to that place, I want to encourage you to think about what that means for you in your life. But I also want to say, I want to address those that maybe you've made a decision to follow Christ at some point, and maybe you've kind of strayed away. I think a lot of times, as believers, you know, we can become hoarders. You ever watch those shows where people just hold on to stuff and they just keep holding on to more and more stuff? We're all a little bit like that, aren't we? You know, I used to watch those shows and be like, man, I can't believe all the stuff that they have. And then we started walking through our house and it's like, man, why do we have all this stuff? Like, we have stuff. Like, people gave us their junk and now we feel like we need to hold on to it. It's like, what is wrong with that? So now I'm all this work to try and make sure this thing doesn't get broke and we've got to clean it and keep it and all this stuff. And it's like, let's just get rid of that. Just, it starts to weigh on you. Before we moved here, it was just such a great product. Like, let's just purge. If we haven't used it in a year, throw it away. Wait, hold on. What's that? You know, it's like, are you gonna, really that? We just want to hold on to it. Well, a lot of times in our spiritual walk, we can start to get kind of heavy. Our hands can start to get full. Maybe it's things in the world that you're holding on to. But I think one of the things that I've seen happen with a lot of believers is you start holding on to stuff, maybe worldly stuff, may just be some of the hurts that you've been through. Talk to so many people that kind of pulled away from church because at some point they were disappointed. They were hurt. And they're just not willing to let go of that baggage. Sometimes that's what you need to let go of. Maybe, yeah, church hurt, but God, where were you? Maybe you've got some resentment towards the Lord, and you've got to let go of that. You can't run fast when you're holding on to a lot of stuff. You've got to let it go. And sometimes that's the most freeing thing, and that's where Jesus, as we see that he promises to heal us, to bring the healing that we need, we can let go of those things. Maybe unforgiveness. Maybe you just haven't forgiven somebody for what they've done. Man, it's just baggage, and you're holding on to it. Maybe you've been hurt, and you want them to know it. You want them to feel that they hurt you. That's not pushing you forward and following Jesus. You've got to let it go. You've got to make a decision. Are you going to keep trying to run with that anchor? Or are you going to trust him? Are you going to follow him and trust him to heal you and take care of these things? To leave all your anxiety. You know, as I was thinking about this, there's a difference between feeling like a failure and growing in maturity. Maybe you've been through some things in life and you just feel like, man, it didn't go the way I wanted, and you're holding on to that. You know, there's a difference in failure and maturity. You know, maturity looks at something and says, hey, I messed up. Hey, I trusted the wrong thing, but God is changing me. Failure just looks at where you messed up and says, I'm a mess up, and I have no hope to move forward. One of the things, and you'll see this with the disciples as they live out life, it wasn't just Levi left things in the beginning. I mean, you see, we finished a series on the book of Acts. Paul had a daily decision to entrust God with everything, with his possessions, with his failings, with his disappointments. Maturity means, hey, I messed up, but God is still changing me. Maturity says, I did the wrong thing. But God's using that. He's shaping me. He's changing me. He's taking this lump of clay that just looks like a bunch of nothing, and he is shaping it into something. A failure looks at the lump of clay and says, hey, it's not even worth messing with. If you weren't worth messing with, Jesus would not have come. So as you look at some of your hardships, as you look at the struggles that you have in life, you got to be reminded that Jesus comes to those lumps of clay and starts to form them. Parents, as you try and walk your kids through things in life, as they start to feel their own mess ups, as they start to feel their own shortcomings, you get to share this grace and good news with them that, yeah, you may do something and feel like a complete failure. That's called maturing. You need to look at it with the eyes of faith. You need to see that God is doing something in the midst of that. He's shaping you. He's changing you. And that's one of the things that, as we think about, you know, what we sacrifice, it tells people what we worship. It tells people what we value. You know, to be able to look at all the riches and wealth in the world and say, I'd rather have Jesus. That's a powerful statement. But it's also when you look at all your hurts and mess ups and everything else, and you say, you know what, I can put that aside. I'm taking hold of Jesus. You don't have to run to the liquor cabinets. You don't have to run to drugs. You don't have to run to addictions. You don't have to run to television or sports to try and numb the pain. You don't have to hide who you are and what you've done, because you have a Savior. You have someone that promises to restore you. You have someone that is with you in the mess and is sorting it out. That's who this Jesus is. That's what he promises to do. And so letting go of all those other things, maybe it's resentment, maybe it's bitterness, it's just another way that we can tell the world that I have hope and there is something bigger. There's something bigger than me just punishing myself. There's something bigger than me trying to escape through all these other things. It takes us sacrificing. It means that that we live a life of sacrifice, a life of giving up other things, of constantly, you know, it's like we've got a lizard in our house. We've got this 2-foot bearded dragon. It's kind of this nasty looking thing, but it is pretty cool when you throw crickets in and he runs over and eats them, gobbles them up right away. And we've had her for about a year, and there's times where you go in there and you just see the skin. You see this skin has come off. It's shed. She's growing. She's stretching. That's healthy. You know, when you are shedding the things in the world, when you are shedding all the other mess that comes up, you're letting it go in order to follow Jesus. That is a healthy pattern of following Jesus. That's what it looks like. You know, when you're not shedding, which typically means when you're not confessing your sins, when you're not sharing where you've messed up, when you're just trying to act like, hey, I've got it all together. Nope, I don't need to confess anything. I'm good. It's like, wow, you've really perfected this Christian life thing, right? You're not healthy. Jesus died that we could be forgiven. He died that we could confess our sins. He died that he could just completely take away the power of sin, the penalty of it, all the shame that we have. He died to take it all away. We can be set free from that. That's the good news of the gospel. That's what should excite you in the morning when you get up and you realize that, yes, life is messy, but I have hope. You're telling this to yourself. You're reminding of what you have in Jesus. So you look at the mess and you're like, I don't want to give up. I don't want to quit. I'm going to keep going. You just push those other things to the side. You follow him. On the days where you feel like, man, it's like I just don't know if I can be faithful another day. You look at what he's done. You stand in awe of who he is. And don't just say, man, well, I guess I've got to do this. It's like, no, wow, I get to do this. I've been promised new life. I can have that. We just keep shedding things and pushing those to the side. Following Jesus in a way of sacrifice, it is a lifestyle. It's not just something you do once. I was thinking, remember one time, I think in middle school, we went out and I was like at half court. I jumped up and threw up a 3-pointer, swished it. Incredible shot. It's like, hey, that's me. I'm a sharpshooter. That was one shot, right? One shot. I could do 1,000 more. I would never make that shot. I think one time I remember we got a new washer and dryer and it wasn't working. And I'm not Mr. Fix-It. Amanda's dad is Mr. Fix-It. And she says, well, why don't you just go fix it? I'm like, I don't know what to do. She's like, well, do you at least want to look at it? It's like, no, sure, I'll look at it. I thought, I'm going to look at it and I'm going to call somebody. I open up the top of the dryer, I think it was the dryer, and there's two wires. And they're just like this. And they have plugs that look the same. So I'm like, I'm kind of looking around. I think I just connect those. They went in, closed it, start. It worked perfect. I was like, hey, I fixed it. I know what I'm doing. One time. There's difference between a one-time deal and a lifestyle. Jesus calls us into a life of sacrifice. And it can seem intimidating. It's intimidating letting go of things, but it's also one of the most freeing things that you can experience. It's hard work keeping up with all that baggage that you have. It's hard work trying to carry that. Maybe it's failures in the past, whatever. You need to let those go, but take hold of Jesus with both hands. You know, we've been in a season of rebuilding as a church. Hopefully this pandemic's going to lighten up and we'll get into more regular rhythms. But I think that one of the things as we build a church is going to take us doing different things. It's going to take us not just being comfortable with the norm, but just asking that question, Jesus, what do I need to do to follow you? What do I need to do? What do I need to let go of in order to serve you more fully and more faithfully? We've got to be shedding all that baggage, all that stuff that weighs us down, and just saying, Jesus, you're all I need. We have on the screen this to follow Jesus today, I will. Things we've talked about as a church is we want to make it hard to not follow Jesus. I want to make it hard for you to come and hear a message and then go away and ignore it. I want you to take some time. We're just going to pause here. I want to pray, but I want you to think through, what is Jesus calling you to sacrifice? What is he calling you to let go of? What do you need to do to follow him, to hold on to him with both hands? Maybe you write this down, but I want to give you some time to think about it. We'll pray, and I'll give you time. God, we thank you for the good news of the gospel that cleanses us, that helps us to see your grace and mercy and where we can change. And God, we all have baggage, and we don't always let go of it. And I just pray that you'd speak to us now.